If you'd like to be turning in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, that's where we're going to be spending the majority of our time this evening. When I found out I was going to be speaking in February, which was in December at the time, I knew I had roughly 8 weeks. And as an engineer, that means I'm going to spend 8 weeks thinking really hard about things. But this is always hard for me. So I don't know. I get up in front of a couple hundred people 3 or 4 times a year as part of what I do in my workplace, and I speak to them. And that's pretty easy for me. This is hard. I shouldn't get emotional. This is why it's hard. I love you guys. So we're going to talk about something that may or may not resonate with you. That's called the fear of the Lord. So how did I come up with this? How did I think of this? Well, I'll ask you to go back in time just to December, January, when we were talking a lot about the importance of thinking about doing things differently in a new year, and among them, thinking about reading the Word more, studying your Bible more. And so the challenge I assigned to myself was to read the book of Proverbs through the book of January. And I did that. And as I was reading the book of Proverbs, and I was getting more and more influenced by Andy's teaching and the way we study each week and take out a pencil or a highlighter or a pen and mark up our text and look for things that reoccur or themes, I couldn't help but notice that as I read the book of Proverbs, I kept coming across this phrase, the fear of the Lord. And then Solomon would say something about that. And so I thought it would be interesting for us to study that together. And that's the background of this. I want to look at the fear of the Lord and what we gain by having that. Now, the songs that we just sang, I think, reflect what the sentiment of this phrase is. We're going to talk a little bit about what this word means, this word fear. I would submit to you that my goal in this lesson is to accomplish a couple of things. One is, I want us to think about the fear of the Lord in the right way. I think as the world uses this term, sometimes they'll talk about putting the fear of the Lord into you or the fear of God, and they're talking about a terror, aren't they? And that's not what this phrase means. That's not what I think it means. I'll tell you what I think it means in a moment. So I want us to think about that properly. But I also want to look at the promises that we have by respecting, loving our Lord, our God. What will we gain from that in our life as a reciprocation? And I assure you, this is also a study, even though it's based in Proverbs, this is a thought and a theme that runs through the Bible. And we'll see it in the New Testament, and we're going to end there, as a matter of fact. So I hope to tie all those things together. So I just want to put this phrase, the fear of the Lord, into context for all of you. This exact wording, these 5 words in sequence, are found 26 times in the books of wisdom, okay? So Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. It's found 26 times in this exact phraseology. That doesn't include all of the times that fear God, fear the Lord are used, okay? But just this exact phrase, which I found interesting. It's found in the New Testament one place, in Acts chapter 9, 31. We're not going to read that, but that talks about the church daily walked in the fear of the Lord, and their numbers multiplied. So, again, this is a theme throughout the Bible. Job records this phrase once. We see this. We're going to see the same wording in Proverbs. It's also in Psalm 111. Job says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this follows his discourse to his friends about how man searches in vain for wisdom in all sorts of places, but it's Lord, the fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of that wisdom. Psalms uses this phrase 11 times. We're going to read one of those later tonight, and I referenced another in Psalm 111. But Proverbs uses these words 14 times in the writing, and we're going to read all of those together later. But when we look at the word fear, there's really only 2 definitions for fear. There's the one definition of fear that's an emotional distress, right? That's the fear that you might have when you're afraid of something physically happening to you, to your person, right? Fear of some sort of judgment, negative outcome, action that's going to be taken upon you. That fear is usually a paralyzing fear, isn't it? It doesn't spurn action. It usually spurns avoidance, hiding. Then there's a different definition for the word fear, which is the way that this word is used. This word fear that we find in Proverbs and in those other texts that I referenced comes from the Hebrew word, I'm going to say it, yare. It may be pronounced differently, or yira. And that word carries with it a definition meaning fear, but a reverential awe or respect. Okay, what does reverential awe mean? That might be harder to think of than fear. It simply means an amazement, a deep-found appreciation and gratitude towards something, in this case, towards Jehovah. So this phrase, fear of the Lord, and Lord is written this way in the Bible, meaning Jehovah, it means a deep-found respect and awe towards Jehovah based on what we know of Him. We know that Jehovah created everything. He created you and I. He created the world. He created everything. He's our Lord and ruler of the universe. And as a result of that, we should be approaching Him from a perspective of fear, reverence, awe. And the songs that we'd sang tonight, all three of those songs really talked about that, didn't they? Okay. So as we go forward into the lesson, I want you to be thinking about my reverence towards God, my awe of Him, my appreciation and gratitude of Him and respect for Him that comes from the fact that I know who He is and that I know that in the end He will judge me and all of us is really what this phrase is talking about, and it applies to you as well. So let's turn together to Proverbs and let's look at how this phrase is used and what Solomon has to say and why he found it important enough to say it 14 times in the course of 24 chapters. Proverbs is 31 chapters long, but they happen all in the first 24 chapters. So let's turn together. Let's look at Proverbs. We're going to read the first 7 verses as the book opens together. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here in our first reading, we see that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That word beginning means foundation. So our respect towards God is going to be a foundation towards knowledge. Let's look at the next time that we'll read about this, and it's going to be found in Proverbs 1:29, but I'm going to start reading a little bit earlier. I'm going to start reading in verse 24. The context here is wisdom is personified here by Solomon, and wisdom is speaking. And wisdom is lamenting that people have ignored her. And so here's what she has to say about that. Because I have called you and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Here we see that the fear of the Lord is a choice that we get to make. God could have pre-programmed all of us and said, you're going to respect me and bow to me and worship me, but that's not what happened. We have a choice to make. And Andy mentioned this morning when we were studying Romans chapter 1. And I think of Romans chapter 1 when I read a verse like this. God has made himself known in this time to the Israelites in many ways, and he's made himself known to us in the revealed word. But it's still up to each of us whether we choose to recognize him through the creation that he made and the things that we have around us and this word. choose to recognize who he is and who he and what he is and worship him or not. And I think that's what we're seeing here. The next reading is in Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 1 and read the first 6 verses of this. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come understanding," or come knowledge and understanding. So here in Proverbs 2:5, when we read about the fear of the Lord, this is something that can be learned and understood by us, is what I hear and what I read in this. We have to be willing to seek information, seek wisdom and knowledge, but if we do, we will find it, we will learn it, and we can understand the fear of the Lord. Now turn with me to chapter 8 of Proverbs. We're going to read chapter 8, verse 13, to see the next time that this phrase is used. Solomon writes, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate." So simply, the fear of the Lord means hatred of evil, pride and arrogance. Let's look at chapter 9, verse 10 now. Here we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." I want to, like Rick says, put my stake in the ground and camp here for a second. This phrase we read at least 3 times in the Old Testament here, as well as in Proverbs, or as well as in Psalms 111 and Job. All 3 of them say, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And I want to ask rhetorically, is that the same thing as the beginning of knowledge? I want you to think about that for a second. Are knowledge and wisdom the same thing? I see Dale shaking his head vigorously, no, and I agree with him. What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge, or knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge is the ability to be aware of facts, to be aware of information, right? Book smart, maybe. Is knowledge. What's wisdom then? Wisdom is the ability to apply that knowledge, isn't it? Practical application. To be aware of why things are what they are, not just what. Okay, so knowledge is the what. Wisdom is why. And I think we see through the book of Proverbs, and as we read about the fear of the Lord, we see a progression here from knowledge to wisdom. In the comments that are made by Solomon, and in our own lives too. So when we begin our journey as worshipers of Jehovah, we may know some things, but we don't understand them, and that's okay. But if we remain diligent and we remain interested in reverent respect towards God and seeking his commands and doing them, we're going to develop that wisdom and that ability to apply, and the ability then ultimately to teach others, as Solomon is doing in this book. Okay, let's look at chapter 10, verse 27. Here's the next time we see the fear of the Lord phrase used. In chapter 10, 27, it says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." And then in 28, "The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish." So here we see, in these 2 verses combined, we see that with the fear of the Lord, we get prolonged days and gladness and strength. Strength is in verse 29. Let's look at chapter 14 next. Here we see this phrase used twice. Verse 14, verses 26 and 27. We read, "In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death." So 14:26, we have strong confidence. I'm going to ask you the question, in what? And we're going to answer that in just a minute, but think about that for a little while. Strong confidence about what? And in 14:27, we see that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The next reading that we'll do is chapter 15. And again, in chapter 15, Solomon refers to the fear of the Lord twice. The first time is chapter 15, verse 16. He says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble." So the fear of the Lord is better than great treasure. And then in chapter 15, verse 33, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." So we have instruction in wisdom. Okay? Next reading is chapter 16. In chapter 16, verse 6, we get more insight into the fear of the Lord. Solomon says, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." So the fear of the Lord has the ability to help us turn away from evil. Earlier we read that the fear of the Lord was to hate evil. Now we read the fear of the Lord helps one to depart from evil. Gives us the ability, the strength we need, the confidence we need to actually repent, turn away from, that's what the word repent means, evil. Okay? Next time we read about this is going to be chapter 19. So let's look at chapter 19, verse 23. And here we read, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil." I summarize that as the fear of the Lord leads to life and satisfaction. Paul talks about being content in everything, right? And I think that he's able to do that because he has this, and he epitomizes to me the fear of the Lord, doesn't he? Respect for, reverence for, the ability to worship him, to know who he is and whose he is. We have two more readings in this book. Proverbs 22, verse 4. We read, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." And then finally, in chapter 23, verse 17. Solomon says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." Chapter in verse 18. So here we learn that there's a hope in the hereafter. So now I'm going to show all of those learnings in one place. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's a choice that we have to make. It's something we can learn and understand. It is to hate evil. It's the beginning of wisdom, prolonged days, strong confidence. And I asked you, in what? We'll answer that in just a moment. It's the fountain of life. It's better than treasure. It's instruction in wisdom, departure from evil, life, satisfaction, riches and honor in life. It's hope in the hereafter. Now, it's coincidental, but I could claim I did this on purpose. I really didn't. But the strong confidence, hope in the hereafter, those go together, in my opinion. If we have a true fear of the Lord, meaning a true reverential respect for Him, based on our knowledge of Him, based on studying the Word of God, what do we have confidence in? Don't we have confidence in the hereafter? Isn't that our sole source of hope in what comes after this life? I want to ask you, does anything on this list appeal to you? Is there anything on this list that you find unappealing? I'm thinking the answer is no. So the fear of the Lord is a pretty great thing when we have it in our lives and when it motivates us to action, right? Again, the fear of the Lord is not a fear, a terror, although that would be appropriate. It could be appropriate, right? But that's not what God's asking of us. He's asking of us to respect, to honor, to be afraid of him in the sense that he is judge, he is Lord, ruler of all, but to motivate that into our action. Okay, let me read two more scripture readings, and then the lesson will be yours. First, we're going to look at Psalms 34. Just to be practical about this, what does a life marked by the fear of the Lord look like? This is a way to measure up. So this is a Psalm of David, which, by the way, David would have taught Solomon. Solomon is teaching his sons in this book of Proverbs. I want to look at Psalm 34. We're going to read verses 11 through 18. Here he says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." Then one more verse or one more reading, and then I'll have an invitation for you. Let's turn to the New Testament now. And I want to go to the book of 1 John. If you know the Bible well, you'll recognize that 1 John is a book that is really about one four-letter word, which is love, right? Not fear, but love. But I want to read how the fear of the Lord and love are intertwined with one another. We're going to read 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. John says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Does that sound like confidence and hope in the everlasting? Okay. "Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment." Now this is the fear of terror, right? Different word, fear. But did you catch that in verse 18? There is no fear, there's no terror in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. "But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him first because he first loved us." So before I give the invitation again, look at this list. Does this list appeal to you? Do you have strong confidence, hope in the hereafter? Do you have knowledge? Are you wise? And I'm going to say wisdom is a journey, maybe not a destination, but are you on that path? If you have fear of the Lord, then that's what's going to get you, allow you to attain all of those things. In a moment, we're going to sing a song and give you an opportunity to come forward if you have any needs that we can pray for as a congregation. Or if you are not part of God's family, you haven't recognized Jesus Christ as your Savior, then there is no real ability to master this list yet. The only fear that you are subject to is the one of terror, of judgment, unless you make that right. And you have the opportunity to do that now, if you'd like, while we sing. But I want to end with what Solomon writes up, and I think it's basically his answer to the question, what is the meaning of life? If you'd like to look with me at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The same word fear is in this reading as the word fear that we've been talking about in Proverbs. Solomon says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." If you're subject to the invitation, if you would please come forward while we stand and sing, and we can address your needs.